Hello and welcome to Hot Pursuit, part of Ahval video and podcast series. Today we are going to talk about the breaking news, Armenia, Azerbaijan at war through Karabakh. My guest is Thomas De Waal from London, a senior expert with Carnegie Europe. Welcome, Tom.
Good to see you, Yavuz.
In addition, Tom is the writer of a book called Black Garden, Armenia and Azerbaijan through peace and war, one of the top experts in the world about the Caucasus and especially Azerbaijan and Armenian conflict, if not the top expert. Welcome again, and let's start immediately with what triggered this conflict so unexpectedly out of the blue.
Well, it's not entirely unexpected. There was a few days of clashes in July on the Armenian-Azerbaijani border. About 15 people died then. So that was already a warning signal, but that was in a very limited area. And since then, we've seen the rhetoric rise on both sides, it has to be said. There's also a new leader of the Karabakh Armenians who's been making some quite bellicose statements. The Karabakh Armenians also made an announcement that they were moving their parliament from the current city, Stepanakert, to Shusha, which is the former big Azerbaijani city, which was seen as a provocative move. Why now? I guess this is a mountainous area. If you're going to launch military action, which Azerbaijan seems to be doing today, you want to do it while the weather is still okay, before it gets cold in the mountains. And also the political context. I guess before the US elections, I think the Azerbaijanis think that the US, who used to have a big interest in this conflict, one of the mediators, they see that the US is very disengaged from the region and preoccupied with the election. Maybe a third reason is that the OSCE, which is the Organization for Security Cooperation in Europe, which is mediating this conflict, is currently a leadership crisis, so they're not providing. They don't have any leaders in their top positions. So maybe Azerbaijan calculated that this was a good moment to try limit military action. The big question is this just a limited military action, or is it something even bigger than that?
Mm-hmm. There are conflicting reports, because it's still breaking news, which side pushed the button first. But as I understand from your what you're telling me is that it was Azerbaijan who opened fire first, or who moved in first.
Yes, I mean, I'm not exempting the Armenians from blame, but basically the Armenians won the war of the 1990s. They have all the territory they want. They control parts of what is internationally regarded Azerbaijani territory. So the Armenians don't have an incentive in starting fighting. Their incentive is to normalize the status quo. The side who has an interest in military activity is the Azerbaijani side. Even though I think we all understand that war solves nothing in the longer run. Ultimately, the two sides will have to talk. But for various reasons, Azerbaijan calculates that military action will win it something.
You cited the background regarding Karabakh moves, parliament move, etc., etc. And there's also another background. We also have been reporting with the data issued by Syrian Observatory of Human Rights, which reported that at least 300 jihadis from Syria were transferred to Azerbaijan about a week ago, some days ago, which also should perhaps be added into this context.
Yes, I've seen those reports. I've also seen people strongly denying them. So there's a bit of a mystery to me. I wouldn't be the person to comment on them. But I think the new factor, and if this is confirmed, this would be part of this new factor, and you know this as well as me, Yavuz, is what is the strong Turkish support for Azerbaijan. This did not used to be the case a few years ago. Turkey would be a side which politically supported Azerbaijan, but always said that this has to be done. There has to be a peaceful resolution of the conflict. They had sympathy with Azerbaijan. They used the leverage of the closed Armenian Turkish border. So they were certainly on the side of Azerbaijan, but never supported Azerbaijan in military action. This seems to be the new factor that Erdogan's Turkey is openly supporting an Azerbaijani military campaign. Every other country in the world is calling for a ceasefire, de-escalation, including Russia, but Turkey is openly supporting one side in this conflict.
Indeed, Germany, France, not yet United States, but Russia, Iran, EU, all of these countries and European Union as well called for ceasefire. Whereas in Turkey, government, the palace, also the opposition, the mayor of Istanbul, mayor of Izmir, which are the mayors of the main opposition, CHP, they openly declare through Twitter that they are together with their quote-unquote Armenian brothers. And so this is
Azerbaijani brothers, yes.
Azerbaijani brothers, yes, sorry. This is a new, this is a new Turkey, perhaps, as you described it. This seems to be the only country now sort of supporting continued clashes and war in the region. Does it sound strange to you, given the situation that Turkey is in?
Yes, I mean obviously the exception being the Kurdish parties and so on, which have traditionally been in favor of a rapprochement with Armenia and also have, as we know, one Armenian member of parliament. But obviously, yes, the mainstream establishment is behind Azerbaijan. This seems to be, yes, part of a trend of a more aggressive, assertive Turkey. The question for me, and I can't answer this question, not people in Turkey could answer it better, is it seems to me that Turkey has never had an interest in this conflict restarting. They obviously have brotherly relations with Azerbaijan, but also differences with Azerbaijan, that they're interested in stability in the Caucasus and ultimately have an interest in restarting the relationship with Armenia. So the question for me is how much this is driven purely by domestic politics, waving the flag, supporting our brothers, or whether there's going to be actually a significant and real assistance to Azerbaijan in this fight. Obviously, a few military trainers in Azerbaijan, but I don't see any members of the Turkish armed forces actually taking part in combat yet. That would be a significant red line if that's the case.
There are unconfirmed reports not only about the export of a group of batches of jihadists, but also usage of drones belonging to Turkish armed forces. But these are unconfirmed reports. If there is an involvement, Turkish involvement, proxy or not, if there will be any Turkish involvement, there are already some comments that such involvement would be commented or perceived, should be perceived as Turkish response to the Russian and Syrian advances in Idlib province. How do you see, what would we expect from the Russian responses to this escalating conflict in terms of, in the context of Turkey-Russia relations as well?
I think Russia finds itself in a difficult position here. Russia wants to be the mediator. This is Russia's ambition, is to be the mediator of this conflict to resolve this conflict on Russian terms, or else to leave it unresolved but without any fighting. Russia obviously has a military alliance with Armenia, as a base in Armenia, but also pretty good relations with Azerbaijan. The presidents Aliyev and Putin are pretty close. They see eye to eye on many things. They have a kind of quite mutually supportive relationship. So Russia has stakes on both sides in this conflict. And obviously this causes anger in Armenia that our military ally and military patron does not act more decisively in our favor when fighting breaks out. The question is, if Turkey were to get more actively involved, then Russia's job really is to, Russia is on the Turkey-Armenian border. Russia has obligations, under treaty obligations to defend Armenian territory. So I think Russia could be dragged more into the conflict unwillingly if Turkey gets dragged more in. But I think Russia really wants to de-escalate this as soon as possible.
The Karabakh Armenians have a reputation of being tough fighters. And also, I think the military perspective is important to see in this escalating conflict. What kind of weaponry do the sides use? Which one is more superior to the other? Also, given the will of the Karabakh Armenians to protect whatever they have gained, how do you? Can you give us a sort of a walk us through this military perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I think the conventional analysis is that no one can really win a military conflict. I mean, ground, land can be reconquered or conquered, but there, a lot of destruction can happen. Since the war of the 1990s was a very low-tech affair, and since then, particularly in the last few years, Azerbaijan in particular has got a lot of heavy weaponry. Military drones, as you mentioned, or its own military drones, also long-range artillery, even cruise missiles, aircraft, and so on. So it can do a lot of destruction with that weaponry. But the Armenian side has the advantage of the terrain, the high ground, so that it's very well defended. Geography. So there's a kind of standoff there between one side has the better weaponry, the other side has the geography on its side. And certainly, the last time they came to fighting in 2016, the Azerbaijani side recovered some small pockets of territory, but not very much. As soon as it has to use men on the ground, it's more equal. And the Azerbaijani army is basically a conscript army, which is not so effective. All of which is to say, the huge destruction can happen. The Armenians also have these long-range missiles that they could fire. We hope not at Azerbaijani cities. So, they have a lot of destructive potential. The hope is that this will be a 3 or 4 day affair, in which both sides can claim a small victory, and then there can be a ceasefire. But who knows how it will end?
One final question, and I'm curious about the sort of the leaderships of on both sides. Armenia declared state of emergency, a sort of a national mobilization. Not yet anything from Azerbaijan that we heard, but if it is Baku that triggered this conflict by opening fire, etc., what would Ilham Aliyev gain from this escalation? And how would it also affect Yerevan government, politically, domestically speaking?
Well, it's a big gamble. It's a big gamble because you could win a lot, but you can also lose a lot. Back in the 1990s, two Azerbaijani leaders lost power in large part due to losses on the Karabakh front. The public expects nothing less than the full liberation of lost lands, and that's incredibly difficult. So it's a big gamble. He could win a lot if he recovers some territory, and this could help him domestically. His position is not great. The economy is in bad shape. The COVID situation is bad in Azerbaijan. But he can also win a lot. Likewise on the Armenian side. But I think the Armenian side, there's more solidarity, win or lose. And we won't. We'll see that. I don't think we'll see much. We'll see less of a blame game in on the Armenian side if this goes wrong.
Thomas de Waal, an expert on Caucasus, top expert on Azerbaijan and Armenia, and author of the book Black Garden, was my guest from London. Thank you, Tom, for this conversation.
Thank you. Very depressing picture, Yavuz, but we hope for the best.
Let's follow it. We have to.
You can follow Ahval News online podcast series through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, and Spreaker. All you need to know about Turkey is here for your ears, mind, and attention. Thank you for listening to our podcast.